Amen. And so I'm happy today to be before you to give you this word this morning. I believe this morning that this is a word from God that God has given me to give to you. And I believe that there is healing in this word. I believe that there is deliverance in this word. And we're going to believe God at his word today as we go into the word of God. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. Get your Bibles. Amen. Get your Bibles, everybody. We're going to do some work. Amen. 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 18th verse. Again, that 2 Samuel. Get your Bible and let's get ready to do some work and to hear what God is saying to us in this day and in this time. 2 Samuel, amen, the 24th chapter and the 18th verse. 24th chapter and the 18th verse. And the word of God reads as such, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw that the king and his servant coming on toward him. And Arunah went up and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifices and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing. Somebody missed that. I'm going to read that. A price, neither would I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which would cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shingles of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. So the Lord was intrigued for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And the plague was stayed from Israel. And the plague was plagued from Israel. Amen. That is 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter and the 18th verse. Would you pray with me? Father God, I come now in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm thanking you, God, for this preaching opportunity. I thank you for your word is power. Father, we believe your word. We stand on your word. Father, we know that your word is true. Speak now through your servant. Father, I am nothing, but you are everything. Take me to a place in you that I've never been before, God, and show me your glory. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you would speak mightily to your people. Spirit of the living God, speak a word of life. Speak a word of healing. Speak a word of deliverance through your servant. Use me, God, that you may be lifted up, oh God. Father, I thank you, God, for the anointing that is upon my life. God, let me flow in the gift that you have given me and not be afraid of the faces of the preacher, of the people. But God, let me look at this live stream and preach Jesus. Father, I give you glory for what you're going to do. And I thank you in advance for what you've already done. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every believer shout, amen. Amen. And so, again, our scripture for today is 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter and the 18th verse. And we are going to use for a subject today, and I want you to write this down, and I want you to tell everybody that you can this subject. Tell them the altar will break the virus. The altar will break the virus. My brothers and my sisters, when I look at the text, I cannot start at chapter 24. I have to go back to chapter 22 because God is doing something really mighty through David. We see David is excited because God uses David to defeat his enemy. The Bible says after the defeating of his enemy that David broke out into Psalms. And the Bible said that he began to give God such a praise because of what God had did for him. And there's some of us here today that can agree that when we look at what God has done for us and what we anticipate God to do, we too, like David, can break out into a praise. The Bible in chapter 22 says that he broke out into a praise of deliverance. Here is what he said. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. He was so excited about his deliverance and what God did for him that he broke out into a praise of deliverance. And then it goes on and said that he began to praise God for his judgment. The Bible says that he said, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighteth in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness of my hands, has he recompensed me. Amen. He was so excited about what God had did for him that he not only thanked God for his deliverance, but he thanked God for his judgment. He didn't stop there. His praise continued. And the Bible says that he praised God for his strength. Here is what he said. He said, God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my ways perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon a high place. He teacheth my hands to war so that I bow of steel is broken by my arms. Amen. He was so excited. He was so thankful. He was so glad that he began to praise God for his strength. Hallelujah. He did not stop there, But the Bible said that he prays God for vengeance. And he says, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them and turn not until I have consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they have fallen under my feet. He was excited. He was thankful. He was glad for deliverance. He was excited about God's judgment. He was thankful for God's strength. And here we see that he prays God for his vengeance. He didn't stop there. He was so excited. He was so thankful that he prays God for who he is. He says, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He was grateful. He was thankful. He was joyful because of who God was. And so he began to break out into a praise because God had delivered. Have you ever felt like breaking out into a praise when you just start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done? Have you ever just stopped for a moment and just looked over your life and don't think about coronavirus, and you're not thinking about the children, and you're not thinking about the bills? You're just stopping for a moment, just thinking about who God is and thinking about what he's done, and think about how he raised you up and how he covered you and how he protected you. You're not thanking him for the house. You're not thanking him for the car. You're not thanking him for the money in the bank. You're just praising him and worship him for who he is because you're just so grateful, yes, that you have the risen Savior in your life. David was there. He was thankful. He went out into a praise because he was excited that God had delivered him. He was excited that God had blessed him with mighty men. The Bible says in chapter 23 that he was blessed with mighty men, men of value, men of stature. He was blessed with mighty men, strong men, men that had defeated the Philistines, men that had conquered many enemies. The Bible said that he was grateful. He was thankful because God had blessed him with mighty men. I just want to stop there for a minute because sometimes, hallelujah, in the midst of all that we are going through, we got to understand that it's all right to stop and just thank God for who he is. And David was in the midst of a worship right now. He's praising God. He's thankful. He's just grateful because he's looking over his life and he's seeing what God has done, and he's looking at what God had blessed him with. Even though he was a mighty warrior himself, God had connected him with men like him, hallelujah, warriors that knew how to fight and conquer the enemy. Hallelujah, there's somebody here today that's excited right now because God has connected you with people that know how to fight. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about people that know how to gossip, but I'm talking about people that know how to fight. When I'm in trouble, when the enemy is all around me, I don't need a gossiper. I need a warrior, somebody that knows how to get to the face of God in the midst of my trouble. And so he connected himself, hallelujah, with men that knew how to fight the enemy. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Maybe you're in the situation you're in because you have not connected yourself with people that know how to fight. Hallelujah. I'm talking about people that know how to call on the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about a little pity patty, hallelujah. I'm not talking about a little clapping of the hands, but I'm talking about those that know how to enter into, hallelujah, spiritual warfare, those that know how to lift up their name, the name of Jesus. Yeah. I'm talking about those that know how to call his name. And when they call on the name of Jesus, Jesus will move from his throne and he will come to your rescue. Yeah. Because he has heard your voice. There's somebody here today that knows how to cry out, hallelujah, in the midst of a storm. Yeah. And your cry will move heaven. Your hallelujah will cause God to move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We'll call God to send an angel on your behalf. Hallelujah. You got to know how to connect yourself to people that know how to fight. David was connected. Hallelujah. But it's amazing how we can be so connected. We can be, hallelujah, so blessed. We can be so thankful, but still forget who God really is. Here we are now in the 24th chapter. Hallelujah. We are just in the 22nd chapter. We were just in the 23rd chapter when we saw, hallelujah, David at the height of his praise. And now in the 24th chapter, we see God moving upon Israel and David because David was about to be disobedient. There's some of us, hallelujah, get so caught up, hallelujah, that we forget, hallelujah, that in our being caught up, we still got to make sure that when we come down, hallelujah, that we stay connected to the God that we were caught up praising. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he was so caught up, hallelujah, and what he had that he did not think about the God that gave him what he had. And he began to take a census of all the men that God had blessed him with. Hallelujah. When we look at the text here, hallelujah, a minute ago, he was thankful, but now he's prideful. And we see his pride disconnects him from the God he was worshiping. Somebody needs to understand that we must not allow our pride to disconnect us from the God we worship. Yes. Remember, it's the worship that opened the door. It's the worship that healed your body. Oh God, it's the worship that took care of your family. Hallelujah. Don't come down from the worship and forget the God you were worshiping. Hallelujah. When you come down, huh, be thankful, hallelujah, for the God you can worship. Hallelujah. Don't just worship him when everything is going good, but you got to know how to worship him when things are going crazy. Because real praise is praising him in spite of. Hallelujah. If I don't get the house, I'm still going to praise him. If he don't give me the car, I'm still going to praise him. If I don't have the job, I'm still going to praise him. I'm going to praise him because he's God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give him glory. Hallelujah. Because he's God. Hallelujah. And the Bible helps us understand in the 24th chapter that David became unglued. The Bible said that he became, hallelujah, so prideful that he forgot about the God that blessed him. And the Bible said that he told Joab to go out and take a census of all of his people. Hallelujah. I want to stop there because he says, Joab, I want you to go out and take a census of the people. Hallelujah. You see, what we must understand, what David forgot, is that those were not his people, but they were God's people. What we as pastors need to understand, hallelujah, that the church isn't our church, but this is God's church. And he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We need to understand that these are not our bills that we got to pay in the church, but these are God's bills. And if it's God's house, then God's going to supply every one of our needs. If this is God's people, then God's going to take care of God's people in God's house, because it all belongs to him. None of it belongs to us. There's somebody right now that's laying in their bed and they're worrying about how they're going to make it. But don't worry about how you're going to make it. Start praising God for how you made it. Look how far he's brought you. You wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for the grace and the mercies of God. Stop looking at what you don't have and start giving praises for what God is about to do. Hallelujah. I feel God moving right now. And the Bible helps him to understand that these are not his people, but these are God's people. Hallelujah. Even Joab understood, because he says here in the text, he says, but why doth my Lord the king delighteth in this thing? In other words, he says, king, why would you need to do a census? Aren't you the same king that I saw you praising God in chapter 22? Aren't you the same God was thanking him for his deliverance and thanking him for his strength and giving praise for who he is? Why would you need to take a census when you have a God that has blessed you with mighty men? If God doesn't do another thing, you should be thanking God for what he's done already. Somebody needs to understand right now, if God doesn't do another thing in your life, you need to give God the praise and the glory. You need to lift your hands and worship him for what he's done already. I got coronavirus, but I can still give him the praise. I can still glorify his name. If God never does another thing, I thank him right now for what he's done. For he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He put food on my table. I got a reason to praise him, because God has been good to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Joab couldn't understand why would David do such a thing, but because he was the king, they understood that they had to follow the king. I just want to say to every church out there, I want to say to every pastor, if you are the king, be careful how people follow you, because if you don't follow Christ, you will lead people astray. I always tell my Lebanon to follow me as I follow Christ. I know that I may be the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but if I'm not living right, if I'm not serving right, if I'm not worshiping right, if I'm not living right, don't you dare follow me. Follow Christ, but don't follow me. We need to know. Stop bragging about the fact that you are the king, and stop worrying about following the king, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as long as you follow the king is going to open doors that no man can close. The king is going to provide for you and make ways for you. Open doors that no man can close. Make sure, brothers and sisters, that you're not just following a king, but following the king, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. And the Bible says, Joab could not understand why he did it, but because David was the king, hallelujah, was a king, hallelujah. The Bible said that he followed David, and they went out and they did a census. And the Bible said that when the report came back, the Bible said that Israel had 800,000 valid men, and Judah had 500,000 fighting men. And the Bible said that as soon as David heard the report, the Bible says that his conscience or his spirit began to bother him because he knew he did something that was not in agreement with God. I feel like preaching now. When you are following a king, and a king isn't doing what they should be doing, their conscience should bother him. Be careful of a king, hallelujah, that you're following, and when they're doing wrong, their conscience does not bother them.
My God.
They continue to feel it's all right to continue doing wrong. But follow a man or a woman that when they know they made a mistake, that they don't think that their crown is so heavy on their head that they can't stop and repent for doing wrong. Do I got a witness today? There's somebody here today that can say, I've done wrong. I've made mistakes. I wore a crown that was heavy on my head, and I love the crown more than I love Jesus. And the crown got me in the trouble that I'm in. But sometimes you got to take the crown and put the crown down and follow, hallelujah, the King, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you follow him, hallelujah, the God that I serve, hallelujah, is able to do exceedingly and abundantly all that I can ask or thank. Good God Almighty, I feel this word in my spirit. And the Bible says that it bothered David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you've done wrong, it should bother you. The Bible said that it bothered him so much that he had to go to God. Oh, I wish I could preach all day long. When you have done wrong, it should bother you enough that you say, I'm not going to man, I'm going to Jesus. It bothered him so much that it compelled him to go to Jesus. That somebody needs to understand, hallelujah, that in spite of what you've done, my brother, my sister, you can get back up again and you can go to Jesus and say that I've done wrong. And the God that I serve is able to forgive you of your sins. If you would just repent and turn, God says, I'll heal your land.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, I feel like preaching here. Hallelujah. Look at what he says in the 12th verse. He says, go and say unto David thus, hallelujah, here Gad, who was the seer of David. In other words, he was the one that was the advisor to David. He says now to David, he says, David, hallelujah, get up and go, because God's going to reveal, hallelujah, where you should go, so that he can forgive your sins and heal your land. Brothers and sisters, I want to stop there, because it's more than just getting up, but it's getting direction and where you need to go. There's somebody right now that has falling. But I'm here today to say that you can get back up again. And the God I serve will direct you and where you need to go. And the Bible says that he says unto David, and David went unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto David, he says, David, he says, sell. He says, in other words, he says, I'm going to give you a choice. He says, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a choice because you have sinned. He says, I'm going to let you choose what sin, hallelujah, what kind of judgment you want because of the sin you committed. And so Gad came unto David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or will thy flee 3 months before thy enemy? He says, while thy persecute thee. In other words, I say it again. He says, do you want 7 years of famine? He says, or do you want your enemy to chase after you? Hallelujah. I'm gonna say that again. He says, David, he says, you have sinned and you have done wrong. He says, but I'm gonna let you choose. He says, do you want 7 years of famine to come unto the land, or do you want your enemies to come after you? And I love, hallelujah, what David says in the 14th verse. And David said unto Gad, I am in great, hallelujah, strait. He said, let us fall not into the hands of men, but he says, I rather fall into the hand of the Lord. He says, because there are mercies. He says that the Lord's mercies are great. In other words, he says, I don't want, hallelujah, to fall in the hands of people, but he says, I rather fall in the hands of God. In other words, he says, I rather have the famine or the pestilence, hallelujah, on the land than allow my enemy to chase after me, because in the hands of the Lord, there is mercies. Can I say that again? In the hand of the Lord, there is mercies. David said that I rather have the famine than to have, hallelujah, the man chase after me, because if I'm in the hand of man, there's no mercies in the hand of man, but there is mercy in the hand of God. I don't know who I'm talking today, but you need to understand that even if you have the coronavirus, if you are in the hand of God, brand new mercies, you will see morning by morning. There's somebody here right now that can testify that I had it, but I saw the mercies of God every day of my life. I saw myself getting better. Yeah. He took away the fever. He dried up the coughing. Hallelujah. He took the heaviness off my chest because I was in the hand of God. Hallelujah. If I would have been in the hand of man, man would have left the temperature high. He would have left the pressure on my chest. He would have delivered me whenever he wanted to. But because of the mercies of God, morning by morning, brand new mercies I see. I'm testifying for somebody right now that can lift their hands and say, I had high blood pressure, but I can testify that I saw the mercies of God. Yeah. Somebody lost everything. everything that they had, but they can testify that I saw, hallelujah, the mercies of God. Somebody can testify that I had no money, but God made a way out of no way, because I saw the mercies of God. If you ain't got a reason to praise God, let me give you one. Because of his grace, and because of his mercy, and because of his love, you need to give God the praise, and begin to thank him like you lost your mind, because it was the mercies of God that kept you when the enemy wanted to eat up your flesh. The Bible said that he stumbled and fall because you were covered in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that the blood still works. Hallelujah, that I'm covered. My children are covered. My grandchildren are covered. Even if I got the coronavirus, I'm still covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every morning I see his mercies, because look at me, I'm still here. I could have been dead, but look at me, I'm still in the land of the living. I still got praise. I still got worship. Look at me. I can still lift my hands. Got the virus, but I can still give him praise. Why? Because of the mercies of God. Good God Almighty. Thank God for the mercies of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he says, so the Lord, he said, sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there were them that died from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men died. Why? Because of the pride and because of the disobedience of David. My brothers and sisters, the reason why there's pestilence in the land is because of the disobedience of the people of God. But God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then they will hear from heaven and then he will heal the land. Somebody needs to understand that even in the midst of the coronavirus, God says that if my people, hallelujah, would forget about the virus and begin to pray, God said that I will heal the land, because God is about to do something in this land that's going to change the land forever. What God is doing right now, God is about to move upon this land in such a way that the government and the president is going to know that it wasn't the vaccine that healed the people, but it was the prayers of the righteous that availeth much. It's because we turned down our plates, laid on our faces, and we called on the name of the name of Jesus. And God heard our cry. And because he heard our cry, he healed the land. Oh, I feel like preaching right now, because there's a healing that's about to come on this land because of the remnant that know how to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In spite of the virus, they know how to call him. Is there somebody here today that remembers how to call on the name of Jesus? David remembered in 22. He remembered in 23. But in 24, he forgot how how to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. There's somebody right now that's in chapter 24 of their life, and they forgot how to call on the name of Jesus. But all of a sudden, when they look back and saw where God has brought them from, they've come to their senses, and they've learned if God can do it before, God can do it again. Who will praise God with me? Who will lift him up with me and shout, God is going to do it again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. God is going to do it again. Open your mouth right now and repeat it after me. God is going to do it again. Touch your husband. Touch your children. And say, God is going to do it again. I remembered how to praise him in 22. Oh, I praised him in chapter 23. But I lost my mind in 24. But thank God, I'm coming back to my senses. And I think things over. And I realize that if it had not been for the Lord, good God, on my side, where would I be? Hallelujah,
yes,
Jesus.
God, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
I praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I lift you up, God.
Jesus.
I give you praise for bringing me back to my senses,
yes,
for remembering how
Hallelujah.
You brought me over, how you put food on the table, how you put clothing on my back. Thank God
yes.
that I've come to my senses.
Jesus.
Good God Almighty. Oh, I feel like preaching. Oh, God, help me. I feel your presence in me, God. And the Bible said, hallelujah, in the verse 16, he says, and when the angel stretched out his hands upon Jerusalem to destroy it, somebody better hear the word of God. Turn your Bibles. Get 2 Samuel. Hallelujah. 18th chapter. Turn right now to that 16th verse, because there's a word for the land in the 16th verse. I need people in China to hear this. I need people in Africa to hear this. I need the people in the Philistines to hear this. I need people all over the world to hear this. I need Mount Lebanon to hear this. I need every church to hear this. In the 16th verse, read, and when the angel stretched out his hands upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord, somebody shout the Lord repented at his evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Oh God, I feel God. It is enough. He said, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. Hallelujah. Stop, in other words. He says to the angel, stop. You don't understand. Hallelujah. If my people that are called by name would humble themselves and pray, God's going to hear our cry. And he's going to tell the angel to stop. Oh God. That's enough. Hallelujah. If we cry out to God,
yes.
Hallelujah. The reason why he shut the doors of the church is because we forgot how to cry out to God. God says, I got to put a padlock on the door because you ain't praising God in the church. And so I'm going to show you what the real church is. The real church is in you. Start looking over your life and look at where God has brought you from. And realize the God of the real church has kept you, has delivered you, and has kept you, and has blessed you. And now he says to the angel, it's time to stop. It's Enough! Stop! Somebody don't understand that God is speaking over your life, and the death angel's trying to rise or raise over you. But thank God the blood is on you. And when the death angel sees the blood, he's going to pass over. Somebody needs to understand, the reason why you're still alive is because of the blood. It's not the medicine. It's not the doctor. It's the blood that the death angel saw, and he had to pass over it. Somebody give God the praise that the death angel passed over me, and I'm alive because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I feel God. Hallelujah. Somebody better shout right now. It is enough. It is enough. Hallelujah. He says it is enough. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jezebite. And this is the meat of the text. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smite the people and said, lo, I have sinned, and now I have done wickedly, but thy sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray, be against me, hallelujah, and not against the sheep. He said, let it be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up. Hallelujah. This is my text. He says, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jezebite. Hallelujah. This is it right here, my brothers and my sisters. In other words, he says, David says, yeah, I sinned. In other words, he says, I'm the cause of it. What we need to be saying is, yes, we've sinned. And because we've sinned, we are the cause of this because of our sins. But thank God, God has made a way out of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lamb, that there is a way out of this. And the Bible said that when David saw that the angel was at, hallelujah, Araunah's house, hallelujah, the Bible said that he wanted the altar that Araunah had. He wanted to buy the threshing floor that Araunah had because he saw that the angel was at his house. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. You need to understand that if you got an altar or a threshing floor, a place, hallelujah, where you lay before God and present the grain, which is your prayers, and at the threshing floor, when we present the prayers unto the Lord, he removes the chaff from your prayers, hallelujah, so that he can hear, hallelujah, what the people of God are crying out about. Somebody needs to know that God has heard your prayer, and you are not alone. And God has not forgotten you. He's moving the chaff from the grain because God is about to release new grain, new wine, hallelujah, unto you. He's getting rid of the old, and God is about to usher in the new. Hallelujah. And my brothers and my sisters, he's making room for what he's about to usher in your life. Somebody better start praising God right now. Hallelujah. You need an altar, a place where you can
present, hallelujah, your prayers before God, a place where you can cry out to him and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. You need a threshing floor, a place where you can lay out before God, just you and him, where you can present the grain and the chaff. And God says, I'll separate it in the name of Jesus. Somebody here right now need to understand the reason why we're suffering is because the altars in the real church, which is in you, have been broken, and God is going to use the coronavirus to cause you to rebuild what was broken. God's going to use the corona to cause you to rebuild the altar where you can go before God, lay prostrate before him, and tell him how wonderful he is, how awesome he is. Praise him for who he is. Worship him for what he's done. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel God all over me. And the Bible says, and Aruna saw the king and his servant coming toward him, and Aruna went out and bowed before him, before the king on his face upon the ground. The Bible said that when Aruna saw the king, hallelujah, that he bowed, hallelujah, he fell to the ground because of his position, hallelujah, he fell before him. But the problem with us is, hallelujah, we keep falling behind before people because of position, but not their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If I'm going to fall before you, if I'm going to kneel before you, you better be connected to God. Yes. You better know who God is. You better know that he's Savior. Yes. You better know that he's Lord. Yes. You better know he's the first and the last. You better know he's Kings of Kings. You better know it if I'm going to bow before you, because the only person that I'm going to bow before is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that I am Lord and I am Savior. And the Bible said, hallelujah, that he bowed before him because he was the king. The Bible says that when he bowed before him, hallelujah, and Aruna said, wherefore is my Lord the king come to the servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee and to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Y'all better let me read this again, because somebody don't have a Bible in front of them. Hallelujah. And Aruna said, wherefore is my Lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee and to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Hallelujah. I've been saying this and I keep telling you this. Hallelujah. The Bible said, watch the text here. He says that David saw the angel at the threshing floor of Aruna. And when he saw the angel at Aruna's house, hallelujah, he wanted what Aruna had, because he saw that the angel of the Lord was at Aruna. Hallelujah. If we're going to get delivered out of this, you need to know today that people need to see your threshing floor. People need to see that the angel of the Lord is in your house. That the angel of the Lord is in your church. Hallelujah. That the angel, Lord, hallelujah, has been tarrying with you. Hallelujah. The Bible said that when he saw it, the Bible said that he went to Aruna to buy his threshing floor. Hallelujah. Because he understood that the only way to break the curse is through the threshing floor and through building an altar. And so the king, hallelujah, that Aruna bowed before, now I understand why he bowed. He bowed because he understood that even the king knew how to recognize when the angel is at somebody's threshing floor. Oh, I feel like preaching right now, because even if you're the king, you need to understand that even if the angel isn't at your house, kings got to come down from their throne and go where the angel is, even if he isn't in your house, because it's not about me being the king, or it's not about my kingdom, it's about stopping the plague from killing the people. Hallelujah. Is there some pastor right now? Is there some deacon? Hallelujah. Is there some deaconess? Is there some bishop? Is there some apostle that will come down from your throne and see, hallelujah, where the angel is? Step down from your gowns. Step down from the throne of your head and come down off your throne and see where the angel is and go where it is. And if you gotta buy it because you need it to stop the plague from killing the people. Hallelujah. Maybe we're in this mess because we got too many people in position that won't come down from their position. I feel like preaching. And go where the angel is so that they can stop the plague. I don't care about my position. I care about the people. And if the angel is in China, if the angel's in the Philippines, if the angel's in Africa, I'm going where the angel is. Because if I get the angel, I got God. And if I got God, hallelujah, I can stop the plague. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Oh, I want to stop the plague. How do I stop it? I need a threshing floor. I need an altar. I need a place where I can cry out unto my God. Oh, I need a place where I can call on the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my strong tower, my wheel in the middle of the wheel. I can call on the Lord. Oh, 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 oh God, oh God, oh God, oh, oh, step down, call on him, step down, lay before him, fall prostrate before him, call on the name of Jesus, and the virus will stop. If I call on the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, the virus got to bow. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stop. If I call. Thank you, God. Oh, God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, God. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We praise your name, God. We lift you up, Jesus. Oh, no. The Bible says, we thank you, God, that he went to buy.
We praise your name, God.
Hallelujah, the threshing floor.
We give you glory.
He went to build an altar. The Bible says, this is the meat of the text. He says,
Bible says
that when he went to Aruna, Aruna was so excited that he can give him his threshing floor. That the Bible says that he said to him,
that when
he says, not only could you have my threshing floor, but you can have the oxen. He says that you can have the instruments that you need for the threshing floor. He says, everything I have, you can have it. David responded, and David said, I can't accept what you're giving me unless I pay for it. Look at what he says here in the text. He says, and the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it.
What you're giving me, unless I pay for it. Look at what he says here in the text. He says, and the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it.
Right now we're having difficulties, but if you can hear me, he says here, and the king said to Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto thee, my God, of that which doeth cost me nothing. In other words, he says, if I'm going to buy it, he says, it's going to cost.
A price neither will I offer burnt offerings unto thee, my God, of that which doeth cost me nothing.
I think I got or solved the problem. I don't know if I did or not. I pray I did solve the problem. But he says here again in verse 24, he says, and the king said it to Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy of it thee at the price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen of 50 shingles of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. My brothers, my sisters, I'm here to let you know that it's the altar that can break the virus. It's the altar. It's the threshing floor, the altar that we build in our homes. It's that altar, that place where we lay before God and we call out his name. Calling out the name of Jesus is not calling out on him when everything is good, but it's calling out when things are good and bad. Know this, my brothers and my sisters, is that if we call on the name of Jesus, he will hear us and he will deliver us. He delivered Israel. Because David understood that he messed up. But David was smart enough to understand that even though he messed up, even though he made a mistake, he says, I'd rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of man.
Because in the hands of God, there is mercies. My brothers and my sisters, we as believers, we are living under the grace and the mercies of God. In spite of what's going on around us, I thank God that I'm kept, I'm covered by the mercies and the grace of God, because I built an altar. My brothers and my sisters, you can still build your altar, even in the times that we're in. Now is the time to build your altar. Build it and lay before God. Cry out to Him in these times that we're in. Cry out to God. And I stand as a witness that God will deliver. I'm hearing people that had the virus that at calling on the name of Jesus, God delivered them. God delivered them. And now they're stronger than they were before, because God delivered them, because they called on the name of Jesus, because they built their altar and God delivered them.